ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba.
Friday. Who did it yesterday? I want to know.
Wendy, it was a mess.
I know Harry
tried to do it, and he just couldn't get.
Thursday. Stop. Bill, is this what I'm supposed to do? Come on, that's a decent Harry.
It's a very good Harry.
I love Harry.
He couldn't get the pacing right. Part of it's on me. We should have had a run through. We should have had a rehearsal. Jazz said, why don't we come in around 6 and we'll do a dry run through? And I go, it's not necessary. He'll get it. We couldn't get it. He tried a couple times.
Did anybody do it, Bill?
No, Harry tried to do it. It just didn't sound. It wasn't you. It just wasn't you. You said something a few moments ago that I never in a million years thought I'd hear you say. You said, and I quote, "I'm sick of talking." I didn't think I'd ever hear that from you. I'm sick of talking.
This is going to make me sad again.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
I hate when people are nice to me.
What? No, you want people to be nice to you. That's the way life is supposed to be. People are supposed to be nice to you.
I know you want that, but...
But it rarely happens.
I'm not used to it. I guess that's what it is.
Are people usually not nice to you?
I don't like to be serious.
Oh.
You know, and yes, we put our dog Tiki down yesterday,
yes.
And it was terrible. And
yes.
I'm thinking, you know, I talked to Steve Bertrand off the air, and I said, you know, I took a video of Tiki right before the vet came. The vet, Dr. Gibbs, came to our house.
Yeah.
This vet has really been trying to help Tiki, and it's been downhill ever since November.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I took this video of Tiki, you know, just saying, oh, I love you. You're a great dog. You've given us years of love and understanding, and you're the coolest, and you're the king of all dogs. And I was looking back at the video today. Again, this is right before the vet came, and I'm like, God, he's walking better than he did. He looked cheerful,
no.
And it's like, did I do it too soon?
Hmm.
But as I brought up to the vet, am I premature in doing this? And he said, no, this is just going to get worse.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it seems like it gets worse when the vet is closed for the night and you don't want to take the vet in a car or the dog into a vet that's a 24-hour one because it's usually really far away. It's like we were prepared. We did it.
You did it in your home.
Yes. He came out and I said, am I being premature? And he goes, no. And I'm like, okay. Then I feel good. And Steve Bertrand pointed out something to me, and it's 100% true. He said, you know, what they say is like, right before people die, sometimes they have this burst of energy. And I recall, my aunt, whom I called Aunt.
Aunt.
Had some health issues, and she was in, this, they called it a ventilator center in Hinsdale.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see her. She was intubated. She wasn't doing well. Well, all of a sudden she took a turn for the better and they took the tube out and she, you know, I was there earlier in the day. We all went to see her. She ate food for the first time in weeks and then she died that night. And it's
all
weird.
Right. Where do you think that comes from? 'Cause I have a theory, but I'm anxious to hear what yours is.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a sign for people to go, you know, hey, I'm doing better. So, like, we feel better. Like, oh, look.
Yeah.
But then it just slaps us in the face. So I don't know if they're doing it intentionally. I don't know if it's like you're in a race and at that last second you push really hard to get over the finish line.
Kind of my version is I think there's some sense of relief in both humans and maybe in some animals where they say, I don't have to fight anymore. I'm giving in to the fact that this is the end. This is the final chapter. So I don't have to fight. So there's probably some sort of relief.
I think that's true.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's like, I mean, come on. If you're doing something that makes you nervous or stressful,
yeah.
And all of a sudden the pressure's off, mm-hmm. It's like a sigh of relief.
Right. And I could be wrong, but I know you
feel
think,
even better than Bertrand made me feel.
Well, that was my goal, was to out Bertrand even.
See?
Bertrand.
And then you're nice to me, and then I want to cry again.
No one wants
you
to cry.
You nice to me.
No one wants you to cry. But when you came into the studio, you said those words. You go, I'm sick of talking. And it's because everyone's coming up and offering you their condolences.
And I love it. I know. And I know they mean it, but it's just like...
Well, everyone has been, or most people have been in a similar situation.
Right.
So they're all, you know, they're commiserating with you saying, I know what you're going through and it's awful.
And it's sweet of them, but then it just makes me upset again.
No,
so
no
like
one
to
wants
ignore
that.
It right now.
That's probably going to be that way for several days or even weeks, right?
I was trying to explain to my kids, I was trying to get them ready prior to this event because I knew it was coming soon.
Yes.
I knew it was the end of Tiki's life,
yes.
As we know it.
Yeah.
And I tried to explain to them that you really truly feel like there's a hole in your heart, and ultimately that hole fills up with funny memories, and we'll, every day we'll go by and we'll go, oh, remember all the stupid nicknames that I had for him?
Yeah.
Remember when you called your producer Kevin Richter Mr. Poo-Poo because you thought he was Tiki for a minute, and then I'll laugh, and then that hole fills up with a funny memory.
Yes.
And I said, it's not going to all, you're not going to like cry all your tears out and then it's over.
Right.
You're going to cry and then kind of feel okay, and then like maybe a day later something will hit you and you'll cry, and it may take a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have to say, with most loved ones, and for me, it's
humans.
Of the human variety.
I know, I get it.
And I have lost pets, but I because of the nature of me, I've quickly rebounded. But with humans,
right.
There have been, especially my mom.
I know. So
you know how, like when your mom died, you know, for weeks or maybe months or maybe years, you go, I don't know if things are ever going to be right again. But now I have to say that whenever I think about my mom, it's always pleasant. There's no, and I miss her, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But
it doesn't hurt so badly
anymore. Right. Actually, that's accurate. It doesn't hurt as badly anymore.
It still hurts.
When you analyze it, there's so many things. I wish so bad, I'm sure you go through this with your mom too. I wish so badly my mom could know the version of my daughters that work right now. The 21-year-old versions of my daughters.
Yep.
I wish my mom could see that so badly. It didn't work out that way, but whenever I think about her, it's extremely pleasant, and I'm sure that's what will happen.
It will.
It will.
And sooner than my mom.
Yeah.
You know, because that you mourn.
Yeah.
It's your mom. You only have one mom.
Yeah.
And I'm upset that my mom never got to see either of my kids.
That's awful. That's
because
just not
I was
fair.
Such a crappy kid to her that I wanted to at least at some point go, Mom, I now know. I now get what you went through with us.
Yeah, when a parent says, I hope your kids are just like you are.
They are.
Ah, come on. And then it works out that way.
They are. Yeah. You're haunting me, Mom. They are like
she won,
me.
She beat you.
She did.
Yeah.
She will always win.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, and I, you know, trying to explain it to kids. I got to tell you something. And I'm going to knock on wood if I can find it. I can't find any wood.
My head is too far away from you, luckily.
I really can't. My kids have not lost anyone of great importance, which is a miracle to me at the ages of 15 and 18. No
your
family
mom died
member.
Before, both your parents died before they were born.
Yep. Jim's parents are
still
doing great.
Yeah.
They have not, Michael, I think, was in, pre-kindergarten, and his teacher's mother died, who was in her 90s, and I thought, I'm going to take Michael to this because I want him to see what awake is when it's someone old who lived a full life.
And not that close to him.
And not related to you.
Right. That's a smart move.
So I brought him to that, and he just was like, that's kind of cool. And I'm like, okay, whatever. He was in pre-kindergarten.
Yeah.
Dylan, I don't know, has been to any wake, and so at 15 and 18, you know, they're scared that it's all going to happen at once now.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I said, you know, and then Michael, who's 18, said, you know, Mom, you've lost a lot of people in your life. I haven't, and I almost wish I had, because then I'd be ready for it. And I said, it doesn't get easier.
Yeah.
It, you know, I mean, I lost my dad at the age of 10, a bunch of great aunts and uncles throughout my childhood. We were at Vance Funeral Home in Cicero quite a bit growing up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get any easier.
No.
It doesn't.
No.
And, you know, the longer you have them, the better the relationship is. And so it kind of hurts more, but then you're kind of grateful that you had all that time with
them. Yeah, that's true. That's the right way to look at
it. Yeah.
That's the absolute right way to look at
it. But, you know, with your daughters, it's hard to explain things to them. And how old were they when your mom passed away?
Three or four.
And very young. I don't know that they really got it.
No.
I mean, they understood death, that your mom will never be back, but I don't know that you can process those feelings at the age of 3 or 4.
I know you can't, or at least they couldn't, because it was a 2-day wake, and it was a long, both days were very, very long. My mom was a dance teacher and had hundreds of students, so they, you know, they came and their families came, and two very, very busy days, and then the funeral. And they, you know, they were a little bit sad because they could see how sad I was and how sad my wife was and other members of my family. But it wasn't their sadness because they were 3 or 4. And the finality of it didn't make any sense to them, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I think back to my childhood. And like you, I was at wakes and funerals all the time. My mom and dad were bringing me to wakes and funerals constantly. It was, I went to more as a kid. I think in those 5 or 6 years that I was a kid that I've been through my whole life. I don't know why.
Me too.
It's crazy.
And it doesn't get any easier. And as a kid, you just, I got to tell you this, and it sounds really cold, but as a kid going to a wake, all I was looking forward to was playing with my cousins.
Yeah, right, because they were there.
Even at my dad's wake at the age of 10, I was like, hey, let's go play hide and seek in the other room.
Yeah,
there was a lot of that.
This will sound awful, because it is awful. Because I was such a fan of the horror movies as a child, I didn't trust the dead person. We would go to these, and I would have my eye on the dead person the whole time.
You'd think they were going to sit up.
I had seen many movies where Christopher Lee comes back and goes on a rampage. So although they were talking and telling stories, I would just sit quietly and just keep an eye on the...
Thank God someone was paying attention.
I have to be the sentinel. I'll be the one to make sure that that guy doesn't come back. It's called a wake. Let's make sure it doesn't happen. I don't want any surprises at this wake, despite the name. So, yeah. So there were so many that I would just, I don't know. We were there. It seemed like we were there once a month at the Zephron Funeral Home.
See, ours was Vance. Where was Zephron? What town? Oak Forest?
No, it was a little bit west of the city. It's near where my mom grew up. And everybody in my mom's family or their circle, that's where they went. Everybody.
The family funeral home.
Yeah, that was the family funeral home. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, going to the Vance funeral home in Cicero, there was this place called Mena's Pizza that all the cousins would go walk to so we could take a little breather.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, wakes were almost, I hate to say, kind of fun as a kid because, like, you saw your cousins.
Right.
So
you know what added to the fun at Zephron's funeral home?
What? This is...
I can't believe I just said that
sentence. Did they put the fun in funeral?
They put the fun in funeral.
This is a really depressing Friday show, by the way.
I wonder if somebody in that line of work could make money with that phrase as their business catchphrase. We put the fun back in funeral. At Zephron's, whenever you would go there, you know, they had these prayer cards at the beginning, you know, when you'd first walk in.
With the name of the deceased on it and a prayer of the family's choice.
Yes. Right. And then that's still a thing, right? They still have those prayer cards.
Yep.
Not as much fun as baseball cards, in my opinion, but they make them.
They don't last as long in the spokes either.
No, they don't.
I told you I had a lot of aunts and uncles die when
they
I was
put
a
out
kid.
A sad flapping noise instead of your regular baseball card fun flapping
Not
noise.
Stiff enough.
It's a sad one. All right. So they had up where the prayer cards were at Zephron's funeral home, they had this optical illusion thing. That I think you may have seen at some point. This was very popular in the late 60s. It was a picture of a bunch of flowers, but when you looked at it, it looked like Jesus. Did you ever see this thing? It was an arrangement of flowers in a garden, and that's what the picture was of. But then it was also, like, if you'd squint your eyes or move it just a little bit sideways, it looked exactly like Jesus. And I don't know why, but for like, any time anybody would die, I'd go, oh, that's so sad. My mom's uncle is gone. But I'd also get to look at that optical illusion of the flowers that become Jesus. So it was something to live for, I guess.
Our funeral home did not have that.
Oh, that was the best. That was the best. And then also, I don't know why they would give these to kids. I guess to keep them busy. They had, this is a toy from the past that they don't have much anymore, but they had this thing that looked like it was a picture and there were 5 little silver balls in there and you had to move it around to try to get the 5 balls in the different holes.
Right.
It was something to occupy the kids.
Yeah. That was nice of them.
That was nice of them. Yeah.
But see, that's so weird because, I mean, times have totally changed because when we went to a family wake, even as a kid, I'm telling you, we were there all day.
Yeah, it was a long day, wasn't it?
And typically, it's the immediate family that, like, you know, when your mom passed away, you're up there all day. And unfortunately, your daughters probably were most of it, too.
Most of it, yeah.
I don't know if Terry took them home for a while, but back when I was a kid, we would stay there all day, even like for like a great aunt or a great uncle.
Yeah.
We'd be there all day.
Yep.
So funeral homes did have like little goodie bags for the kids and
something
coloring
to keep them
books.
Busy. Yeah, right.
And then you'd get, you know, the food plates. Being of Italian ancestry, it was always, you know, the salami and the pasta in the back. And so, I mean, we'd stay there all day. Now, it just seems like people go in, pay their respects, and move along.
Well, I always Depending think that's on based on your relationship with the person who's no longer with you. If you only come to him casually, you wouldn't want to spend the whole day.
Yeah, but even like family members, unless it's immediate family, I don't know that I'd stay there the whole day.
The whole day is a long day. Right.
And there was no question about it before. We were there.
Yeah, yeah.
And God, I hated wearing tights and a dress.
Yeah.
I was not the kid who liked doing that. I wanted to be in my jeans or shorts, but...
Right.
No, yeah. Little Wendy in a dress.
Yeah, well, it's out of respect, Wendy. Yep. You know, of course, you know this. All right. Well, everybody feels for you. I know you've had to answer the same questions 1,000 times today, and you've heard a lot of stories from other people who have lost pets close to them. But it's
it
only
means
because,
a lot to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
thank you, everyone, and thank you.
Oh, of course. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Then Judy Pilak will come by, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Judy Pilak is here and gave me a nice big hug for Tiki, so thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate
it. Been there, done that.
Everyone has, unfortunately.
It gets worse.
Well,
God, she is the controller.
When I put my cat down, I swear to God, I was just like, all right, I'm done. I was so done.
Yeah.
Then I cried for a month.
Yeah, I know.
I thought I was such a hard ass. Mm-hmm. You know, this cat, it's just she's peeing everywhere, and she's 14, and I'm like, you're done. But, oh, my gosh, it was so hard.
It is, and it's going to hit you now and then.
Absolutely, but, yeah. So I replaced all my kids' photos with her.
Sweet. Oh, you did? Yeah. That was nice.
For a while.
Yeah.
Now it's been a year.
So the kids are back.
Yeah.
She is really a piece of work, can I tell you? As sweet and wonderful as she is.
Yeah.
You know, she comes in and just gives me this hug, like, come here, I just want to hug you.
Right.
Then it'll get worse.
Yeah, it will get worse.
Well, it was like I cried for a month.
What would we do without you?
Yeah.
Well, thank
you. You need a dose of reality. So there it is.
I know.
I used to work with a guy. Al was his name. And his wife went on vacation. She went to visit her parents in Florida. And he had the dog put to sleep while she was gone.
Wait,
and I said, what was wrong
sick?
With the dog?
He said, I'm sorry.
Okay, in that case, you never get over it.
Is this for reals?
I swear
and then he got divorced?
No, they remained very... And his wife was aware that she knew that they didn't get along. He and the dog did not get along. And he just said it was just... The dog was just mean and ferocious, and I had enough of the attitude, and that was it, you know? So I said, didn't you have to sell it as, no, the dog got really sick while you were gone? He goes, no, she would have seen through that. She would have known better than that. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was even an option.
It shouldn't be.
I didn't even know that. When my daughter's hamster died when they were little, they cried continuously for a week. Every day they'd come back and they'd look at the cage where the hamster used to live and the hamster was gone. And I said,
And what kind of parents are you to keep the, keep the cage there empty?
They wouldn't let us take the cage down.
They needed it.
Leave the cage up. I go, all right. You know, but I just said, please, when I die, half this much emotion, I'll be happy.
And don't remove my cage.
I want the cage up for 1 week, and then take my cage down, and leave my wheel in that I run in. I want the wheel.
That's why you're in such great
shape.
And my oats.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
You know, and we went through this thing where I've never had, I don't want to be cremated. Jimmy Mac wants to be cremated.
Not until you die.
Well, no, I know. Yeah. But I want to be buried. I want to be in a casket. I want my
really?
Hair and makeup to be done right.
Yeah.
I don't like the cremation aspect of it. And with a pet, they typically, you know, we had it done at home. Dr. Gibbs came out, administered Tiki's injections.
Did you get the paw print?
Yeah, I'm going to get that. They do a little paw print of your pet. I have Declan the cat's.
I know this sounds ghoulish.
Afterwards? After they've put it down, before they cremate it, they stick the little paw in clay, and it's really sweet, and I love to have it.
I said no.
You are cold as
ice. I was so shocked at how I reacted that I was like,
get it over with.
Yeah, I had to.
Yeah.
I couldn't have anything, but because I was so emotional and just, I was sobbing.
Yeah. In fact.
Where will you keep that?
Well, I have Declan the cat's paw print, and we have it on the windowsill in the kitchen. I don't know.
So you've got a collection going.
Well, I have one.
Oh.
And I didn't get Declan's ashes. And then Tiki has just been the greatest dog. This was my first dog.
Yeah.
And a family dog. And mine and Jim's together. And, they had said, do you want the dog cremated? There's a group cremation for this price. And I said, what is that? And they said, well, we cremate them with,
half a dozen other dogs.
Right. And then we scatter their ashes in this butterfly garden in Willowbrook or Hinsdale or something.
Oh, well, that's cute.
Yeah, but I want Tiki to have his own oven. I don't want him I don't want him to be with other people.
Don't you think they purposely, though, do that? Because most people would go, well, I don't know those other dogs. Give me the step up one.
Well, yeah, and plus I said, do I get to scatter his ashes? And they're like, no, they handle it. And I said, no, I don't want that.
No.
So then a private cremation is a little more.
Right, right, right.
And you get his ashes in a little lucite urn or container. And I didn't want to do either. I told the boys, I don't know what to do with ashes. I just really don't. And then Michael said, you know, we have this wolf statue in our garden in the backyard, which we bought because it looked like Tiki. And we lugged it home from Pop's Nose in New Buffalo, Michigan, or some part of Michigan. It broke through the back of our car, but we had to bring the statue home. So since your garden's there, why don't we bury Tiki's ashes under that wolf? And I said, that's a great idea.
Perfect.
So I'm getting the ashes. And then somebody makes me feel bad because it's like, don't bury all the ashes because what if you move? And it's like,
oh, wow.
I don't want to. What do I do with ashes? Yeah, I don't want to keep ashes.
Yeah.
Can I? And this sounds awful, but I'm curious. A roundabout price range on the dog.
Everything's about money for him.
I'm just curious.
Well, you'll be shocked at what.
Is it under $100?
It's $200.
$200? All right.
And to me, you know, and it was only $3-something to have the vet come out to your house.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'd pay $1,000 to have them come out to euthanize your pet in their own home where they're not freaking out on the way to the vet to be killed.
Right. Yeah.
I'd pay $1,000.
You didn't share that info with them, though, right?
No. I didn't say I'll pay you more.
But I will attest that that is what happens because I took my cat to the vet and it was
freaking out the whole time. It's the last terrible ride.
Yep. It was just a cry for, please don't do that. I was horrible. So, yeah.
To come out to your house.
Come to your house and do it so much better.
That's my only piece of advice.
Yeah.
And there are many vets that do it. This is Village Veterinary Care.
Now that I'm in the pet world for the first time,
yeah, you have a puppy.
It is incredible what people will pay for things and what they offer. Everything.
Yeah.
Anything a human gets, a pet can get.
Is that true?
Yes, and everything.
You can get a casket, very high-end, if you wanted to.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, wow.
I'm absolutely sure you could.
Wow.
That would be stupid. What do I put him in, a suit and tie?
Even your
You'd
ashes.
Laugh at me.
People talking about not putting all the ashes in. What are they thinking? The ashes are going to be there forever? No, I mean, it's...
Right.
It's... I mean, it is what it is. It's
just a symbolic...
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Tiki, part of it that was so weird is he was 70 pounds. I guess he was illing since November 30th when we think he had a stroke, so he lost 10 pounds. 66 pounds. That's still, you guys, a really pretty big dog.
Sure.
And so that made it harder for me because it was like he was a person. They had to carry him out on a gurney from our house. They wrapped him in a blanket. And it's like I'm looking at the neighbors like, you know, yeah, that's Tiki. No one was out, thank God. But I don't know, the fact that it was such a big dog. I mean, I've had animals my whole life, hamsters, rabbits. I've buried them in the yard. You can't bury a dog this big in your yard.
I know. I think you could. But you don't
what
want to.
What would they do at the
right?
zoo when you
can
worked
at the
zoo?
Can you still bury a pet?
Oh, yeah, you can. Okay. Yeah, you can.
I don't know if...
You'd have to dig an awfully large... It would be like a grave, and that would be weird.
I don't know that you can. I think you have to check with your village because with coyotes and stuff...
Yeah?
I don't know that you can.
Yeah,
I thought you could.
I'm not sure.
We have.
How big?
Not real big.
70 pounds?
The largest have been...
elephant.
Well, hamster-sized, let's say.
Yeah, I've done hamsters and bunnies.
Put them in a little shoebox, and you're fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What's your question?
When you worked at the zoo and an animal would die, what would they do with the animal after the animal had died?
Well, they first and foremost would do an autopsy because they need to see what happened.
Make sure everything was on the up and
there
up.
Was a, I worked at Brookfield Zoo, and I went to high school at Riverside Brookfield High School, which was right next door.
Yeah.
And we were in the cafeteria having lunch after Ziggy the elephant fell in his moat and died. Ziggy had a bad history there. He killed a keeper.
Yeah.
The enclosure was too small at that point. And Ziggy died, and they brought him out of the zoo on like this giant pickup truck, and it was like a cartoon. You could see like a tarp over the top, but you saw elephant legs sticking out. We're having our bulldog burger looking, going, oh my God, is that Ziggy on his last ride? But they would do an autopsy, and then they would, something like Ziggy, they would send out or make smaller before they cremate them.
And by make smaller, you mean dissect to
That's
some extent,
what I
right?
would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't think...
Ooh.
I don't know how cremation works, but I don't know how big the thing is where you just...
Right.
Slide in an elephant.
Well, now, I think this is true. I always thought it was folklore, but because I used to always vacation up in Lake Delavan.
Yeah.
So the circus.
By the Circus Hall of Fame?
Well, they used to always winter there, which I thought was hilarious. I'm like, why would you winter in Lake Delavan? Because it's freezing.
Yeah.
Right.
But when and I think this is true. They, like the elephants would die or whatever animals, they would dump them in Lake Delavan.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Really?
So yeah, they were always.
Oh, no.
I
think it is true. Back in the day,
you would think there'd be a city ordinance against that.
Right, but it's a huge lake.
What did they tie giant blocks on them so they wouldn't float up?
Imagine a guy who might have had.
It's probably good for the ecosystem. I don't know.
Imagine a guy who might have had one too many to drink just out at the lake, going.
Is that an elephant?
That can't be an elephant.
And it's not pink.
Right. Right.
I'm going to have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure that they would just,
dump
the animals
elephant
died,
in the lake.
They would just put them in the lake.
Ooh.
Well, I'm getting my paw print, and yesterday the vet closed at 5:30, and it was 5:27, and Michael says to me, did you get the paw print? And I said, well, I told him,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, are you sure? And I'm like, oh, now you got me nervous. So I called with like 2 minutes to spare and said, I got to get the paw print.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, we'll make sure of it.
Okay.
And I said, I forgot to tell Dr. Gibbs that. And he goes, no, we usually do that anyway, but I'm going to run back there right now and put it on your chart.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
All right.
I had to get the paw print.
Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You did.
All right. It is news time.
It is. I'm like Wendy Depresso all
no,
day as we
come
go
on.
Into a weekend, but
come on.
You know.
It's all right. Everything will be all right.
She's the best.
In my opinion, yes.
Go on. No, really.
In Wendy's opinion, in my opinion, Judy, you are the cream of the crop.
The cream of the cup.
The cream of the cup.
The cream that overflows the cup.
I was going to say creme de la creme, but I don't speak French. But in my head, I'm like, say creme de la creme. And I'm like, I can't pull that off.
It worked for Chuck Kopic. He said that all the time.
Creme de la creme.
Right,
creme
didn't
he? De la Jeffrey creme, he would say.
Right.
Everybody's middle name was Jeffrey.
William Jeffrey Leffrey.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Everybody's middle name is Jeffrey. I have more gloom and doom news. If you're
right.
Are you in the mood for that,
Let's
Wendy?
Keep
a little
with
more
the theme.
Gloom and doom news. Costco is now selling doomsday prepper food kits. Do you know what that is?
This is like the Y2K, but
yeah,
now doomsday.
But on a grander scale and far more expensive. Here's the story from MSN. Costco is selling food kits that can feed a family of four for up to a year. The kits cost before I give you the answer, what do you think that
all
would
right,
cost?
All right, it's a year.
A year's worth
of
food.
Four.
Right. What would that run you?
$1,500.
$1,500?
12 times.
Because it's going to be really bad food.
Yeah. You're not going to get premium food.
You said
food.
$1,500? I'm going $1,200.
$1,200? You're both kind of right. The kits cost between $1,000 and $6,000. So you both made it. Including a mixture of grains, fruit. It says fruits, but I think you just want to say fruit there, don't you? Isn't fruit already plural?
Yeah.
Yeah. A mixture of grains, fruit, vegetables, proteins, and dairy. Much of the food has a 25-year shelf life.
Jeez, I don't want to eat that.
I know.
What is it made out of?
When it's the end of the world.
Well, I'll eat anything.
Ho-hos. It's all Hostess food snacks. Aren't those the ones? It's Twinkies was the one that they said could last for 100 years.
Yeah, buy some canned vegetables. You should be fine.
Yeah.
That's what they said about Mickey Rooney, too, and look what happened.
What dairy lasts 25 years?
I can't think of that being a possibility. Can you?
They have.
Really?
What about the creamers that don't
aren't refrigerated till opening?
Yeah.
Those are right. Does almond milk last forever, or does that spoil at some point?
If it's canned, I bet, like, you know.
Oh,
they,
right, canned milk.
Yeah.
You could live on that, right? So is it Carnation that makes canned milk?
That was the dehydrated milk, but you need fresh water to...
Oh, yeah, to activate
it. And water will be, as I've learned from The Walking Dead, water will be hard to come by.
Right.
Where do they get the water?
Well, I don't know where they keep getting fresh water, but the other problem, I read something online a few weeks ago. They said that, and I didn't realize this, gasoline spoils. Like, after a while, you can't use gasoline. But on Walking Dead, it's been 6 years or 7 years. They're still driving around on gasoline.
And you'd think that they would have depleted all the little Sitcos that were in the area.
Yeah, sometimes I think that Walking Dead
Because, yeah, they never go very far.
Sometimes I think they're just messing with us with that Walking Dead show.
But the water and the gas has been something, like, how
well,
many seasons has this
well,
been on?
If you have a well, you should still be able to get water.
Yeah, but there are putrefied zombie remains that have infiltrated your well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, like, even streams, there are swimmer
zombies.
Well,
you talk us through. Walkers.
I have.
They're not walkers, they're swimmers.
Right.
They're swimming dead.
Right. But now, I didn't think of this till fairly recently, because how many seasons has this been on?
I think seven, I think.
Okay, right? So at the beginning of, maybe the end of last season, beginning of this one is when I started thinking, hey, wait a minute, how did they got a new vehicle, how did they find it with gas in
right.
it? How do they keep doing this?
Yeah.
And what about water? I see them with bottled water. You know, there is no Hinckley and Schmidt guy.
No. No, there
but
is not.
Schmidt got eaten. There's just Hinckley.
A lot of bottled water around, though.
No, not after 6 years. You would deplete it.
Yeah, there. If you imagine how many people...
Stop ruining it for me.
Oh, that's true. We don't want to ruin it. We don't want to ruin it. All right, back to our story already in progress. Much of the food has a 25-year shelf life, such as freeze-dried broccoli, green beans, corn, and dehydrated apples. Boy, I'd be eating better after an apocalypse than I do now.
Right, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get how many servings a day of fruits and vegetables? Like seven?
Four
to five?
You'd have something
to be,
like that.
Yeah. That
I eat fruit
anymore.
All the time, but vegetables, it takes a lot. But I eat fruit.
You
I
should
eat,
have a V8.
I should have. I hate V8. Have you ever had it?
It's tomato juice. But they have like
V8. It's really delicious with vodka in it.
It sure is. Miss Bloody
then
Mary.
We call it a Bloody Mary, yeah.
But V8 makes like twisters or something. It's like a fruit juice,
yeah,
but there is carrots and stuff in it. It's pretty good.
I don't know.
Terry wants to eat a vegetable. I don't know.
Terry once offered me $100 to drink a glass of carrot juice, and I turned it down. I couldn't do it for $100.
You only get $20 a day.
I know,
you
could that's have been 5 days
so
ahead for me.
Of yourself.
I'd be like the J. Paul Getty
of carrot juice.
So you never eat vegetables?
No, I eat them, but grudgingly, and like it depends on what it is. Like I love lima beans, and I eat green beans. There's a couple that I really like, but most of them.
What about wax beans?
No, they have to be real.
No. What about Brussels sprouts?
Never.
He won't eat.
Never.
Do you eat cauliflower?
Mm-mm.
Because I like cauliflower better than broccoli.
Corn?
Corn, yes.
Okay. So all the starchy vegetables, lima beans, green beans are good for you. But lima beans are a starch.
Yeah, that's a starchy.
And corn is a starch.
Other
potatoes?
Potatoes all the time. Well, yeah, that's a vegetable, isn't it?
Starch.
Yeah, so French fries.
Starch.
How about like black beans or...
Black beans I enjoy. And how about this? This is weird. In an Asian restaurant, every vegetable.
Water chestnuts?
Love them.
Hate them.
Love them. Really? You hate water chestnuts?
I love them.
Oh, they're so good.
The consistency is, I don't like it.
So we eat Asian food almost all the time, either Japanese food, Thai food, you name it, we eat it. And that's the only way Terry goes, you're only surviving because of Asian food, because that's where all my vegetables are.
So you'll eat broccoli
if
it's part of Asian food?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Because it's got champagne chicken sauce on it. I think that's why.
Bill is an interesting piece of work, let
is
me
he,
just say.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Other items, like the instant lentils, who I saw at Lollapalooza.
Weren't they great?
Fantastic.
I love lentils.
Instant lentils? What does that mean?
Well, again, you need some water
on them, and
but you're going to have a water shortage.
Yeah, right. You got to take that into account.
Right away. I mean, you could last.
Well, it's in this kit, right? There's going to be
part
water.
Of the kit. Yeah. Other items like instant lentils and instant black beans can last up to 30 years.
Wow.
The most expensive kit is priced just under $6,000 at $599.99. It contains 600 cans of food and can feed 4 people for a year based on a per-person diet of 2,000 calories a day.
One of the family members would get killed because somebody would eat somebody's ration.
Yes.
And then they'd stab them.
Yeah. I know you're kidding, but I guarantee you there should be a warning on these kits saying, watch Uncle Chet.
Right. There's always going to be somebody who's like, you took my dehydrated lentil
it's
package.
It's never about the plague or the zombies. It's about other people.
You know what scares me is this food will last longer than me.
Oh, by far.
And we'll finally be skinny.
Come on, apocalypse.
Let's
we're
go
ready.
Swimming. I can wear a bikini
and we'll die the next day.
The cheapest kit, like I said, is under $1,000, $999.99. It contains only 96 cans of food and can feed one person a year on a diet of 1,200 calories per day. So that's a snap decision you have to make at Costco. How long do I plan on surviving for? And do I really want my family
exactly.
near me?
Right, who in right. the family will right. stay with who will right. be alive with me?
I think I'm in it for myself at this point. I can't afford $6,000. Enjoy the comfort. Here's what it says on the Costco website if you're going to order yours online. Enjoy the comfort in knowing that you have the essential foods your family will need to survive an emergency or a natural disaster. If you don't want the neighborhood to know you're stocking up for the apocalypse, Costco notes that the food is packaged discreetly for privacy and shipping.
So
let's
Costco.
Say if you saw the people next door or across the street from you get a shipment,
I'd steal it.
Let me just tell you, it. There is a very high percent, and when I say high, I mean just higher than you would think, of people who already have this.
Are prepared.
Are prepared.
Just in case.
Yes.
So what are their addresses? I'm going to go rob them.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Yeah, you'll do it when it happens. Yeah.
Where do they have some sort of an underground, like a bunker type?
You know, yeah. Or they just have
no, they
enough.
Don't.
Either that or they have supplies. Yes, they
Anyone
do.
Anyone we know? Anyone at WGN?
No, I don't.
Mark
I'm
Harmon.
I would
Mark
say
Harmon.
There's a tiny percentage of people that yeah. have this.
Yep. Yeah.
It, by that, I mean more than you think.
Really?
Yes.
It's not going to matter.
But
why
those...
would Costco do this?
Because right. There's got to be profit
is,
in it.
Yeah, there is.
Enough people to make it profitable.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
They are not going to make them until someone pre-orders them. So they're going to see what the interest
is. Oh, I wonder.
And if three people order it, then they make them and sell them.
Yeah, maybe.
Oprah will get one.
But
Stedman will get her.
They've already, they're putting it out there because there's already a market
no,
for it.
I don't believe you.
Okay.
I think you're wrong for once.
I think because
well, let's see who survives, Wendy.
I don't want to survive. Judy
you
Pilek, you know, if the end of the world happens and Judy's around, you're all screwed.
That's it. And Wendy's kid is just a white flag. She just opens the box and it's just a giant white flag.
Yep.
She just waves it.
I'm
I give
done.
Up. I can't deal
I
with this.
I hope there's a MyPillow in it.
So I'll take that,
lay
too.
Down.
I'm going to have all the MyPillows in my house.
Yep. Good thinking. Good thinking.
Which would be like the castle house.
Right.
With the barbed wire
right.
around it.
Right.
There, she's the only one who survived, Judy Pilek, the goodbye girl. We all said goodbye. How ironic.
Yeah.
All right, we must take a break. Sports Central is coming your way next. Stick around for that. We'll find out what the boys have next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.